Hey everyone, this is Erica. Welcome back to another episode of the We and Me podcast. Thanks for joining us. On today's episode, we have Dr. Scarlett with us. She is the superhero therapist. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thanks so much for having me.
Yes, absolutely. When I came across you on Twitter, we were really excited about hearing a little bit more about your story, how you work, and how you can help people by the correlation of PTSD and superheroes. I think it's really neat, some of this.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Can you explain a little bit to some of our listeners, just so they can have a little bit more of a background on you, a little bit about your story and how superhero therapy came to be?
Sure, absolutely. So I was actually born and raised in Ukraine. And when I was actually just a few months shy of my third birthday, there was this massive explosion at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant. And of course, just about everybody in Ukraine and neighboring countries were affected. And what it meant for me was that my immune system was destroyed. I spent many months in the hospital, in and out of the hospital. And one of the side effects of this acute radiation poisoning that still persists today is that whenever the weather changes, I experience severe migraines and sometimes seizures.
Oh my.
It was pretty difficult because I spent a pretty extensive amount of time in the hospital. If I would get a cold, you know, my system wouldn't be able to heal itself. So I had to be in the hospital for an extended stay. And then in mid-90s, my family and I were able to move to the United States as refugees after the climate in Ukraine became extremely violent, too violent for us to be able to safely live there. And like a lot of people in seventh grade, I was severely bullied when my family and I first arrived at the U.S. I was also that weird kid that, you know, didn't speak English and didn't really understand the culture. So needless to say, I was picked on. And that entire year was the most difficult year of my life because I had no friends. I didn't feel like I belonged. I didn't feel like I fit in. And because I was from another culture and because I was still going through PTSD, on most days I felt so alone that I wanted to die. I wanted to take my own life. Things started getting better when I started making friends in high school. But what really changed my life was seeing the first X-Men movie. I don't know if you remember it. The first X-Men film. It changed my life seeing the depiction of mutants on widescreen in a movie theater and understanding that people's trauma stories actually can become their superpowers. Because I was able to see that these mutants were able to use their genetic mutations to help other people. And they were able to form a group of like-minded individuals to help each other. So it was then that I realized that our stories can actually be a source of our strength. And I wanted to use that to help other people. So from then on, I went into psychology and studied psychology first in high school, then college, then my doctoral program. And now I specialize in incorporating pop culture examples from comic books, movies, TV shows, and video games into therapy to help people manage their post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as anxiety and depression.
That is profound, how you're able to connect with superheroes on screen and see some of that positivity from them. I, for example, I know that our listeners and you know that I live with DID, and some of my parts, alters if you prefer, but my parts, they really, really felt connected throughout my life to Stan Lee and his work and those different characters. And there's so much. That's one reason why I was really excited that you came on to talk with us, because I think that is so true for so many people, and to be able to correlate this to help people recover through their traumas and with coping with PTSD, I think the connection is so prevalent for so many people in the survivor culture realm that it's really cool that a psychologist is taking note of this and working with people through this.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I find that so often we have a really difficult time explaining our own experiences to other people or even to ourselves. But seeing it depicted, especially when it's depicted well, in fiction, in comic books, in modern myths, right, if you will, can allow us a mirror as well as an example to illustrate to others and to ourselves about what it means to go through some kind of an experience, as well as to find a way to recover ourselves.
Yeah, that was very well said. Absolutely. Recover ourselves. I like that a lot. I think it's such a big piece of it, too. And then it's really cool, someone with a doctorate who can work with people and continue to help more and more people, and then discussing it openly like you do on your website and your Twitter feed, and that, I think it's really fantastic, because we do have quite a few psychologists who listen to our show. So that was, I'm hoping that they'll take heed and realize, okay, this is another way that I can utilize to connect to somebody who has PTSD, because the correlations are massive when you're talking about trauma. There are so many relatable characters in pop culture and Marvel, and a lot of Stan Lee, for example. I keep bringing him up because he recently passed, and he's just been on our mind a lot. So I think it's really, really cool way to work.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. And, you know, if we look at superheroes, especially Marvel superheroes, but I think also DC and too, and other other realms, like Dark Horse, most superheroes have a trauma origin story. And it's not despite of it, but because of it, that we tend to love them. We tend to love a survivor story because it gives us hope. It gives us the understanding that we can survive anything. It tells us how to face our own monsters, and also allows us to see that people who survive something traumatic are inspiring and heroic. So I think that by seeing these messages depicted on TV shows like Jessica Jones, or movies like Spider-Man or Wonder Woman, gives us a message that we ourselves can also become a survivor like that.
Yes, I think it's such an amazing way of working with people who are recovering from PTSD, because I know that a lot of them do relate to some of these superheroes, but they don't feel that power yet. Do you know what I mean? So helping them connect to something like that, to a character like that, and then realizing, okay, so they went through something like this, or they went through something similar to me. It was a bit different. However, whatever the case may be, but then pulling the same power from it and applying it to their everyday life, I think is just, and again, I'm gushing. It's really cool.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Can you talk with us a little bit about your book?
Yeah. Superhero Therapy is a self-help book, but it can also be used by clinicians. It depicts several superheroes, fictionalized superheroes, who each of which has some kind of a mental health disorder. So we see one character struggling with PTSD, another character struggling with agoraphobia, the fear of being too far away from a safe space or being too far away from home. We see another character with depression, and a character with different types of anxiety. And so the goal of the book is to demonstrate that even superheroes deal with mental health disorders, even like an eating disorder, for example. And in this book, the superheroes attend superhero training academy, where they learn mental health skills like mindfulness and self-compassion, for example, in order to strengthen their superhero potential and become superheroes in real life. My goal for this is to make these characters as relatable to the reader as possible, to allow the reader to see that they're not alone in their own struggles, and that they too can become a superhero in real life. And in fact, a lot of the examples used in the book were based on either my own clients, of course, with their permission, or based on other examples that people might have experienced, so that they can see how they might be able to manage a certain issue or insecurity or a mental health struggle.
Very cool. I can't, I have it on my, just full disclosure, everybody, I do have it in my Amazon wish list right now. I'm going to have to order it when we can. That sounds like a self-help book that so many people would like, because it sounds like it's structured a bit differently. Like, there's something that could be more relatable to a larger number of people. There's something that isn't, I don't mean to knock the self-help genre, I don't mean it that way, but it's not this poor you, here's two steps that you do in chapter one, and then poof, you're all better.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, the way you're explaining it, the way it sounds like it's structured, and again, I have looked at some of it online, it seems overall well-encompassed.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a part self-help book and part comic book.
Yeah.
It was actually illustrated by a Marvel artist, Wellington Ouse, who's worked on a number of well-known comic books.
Very cool. My intention
for this book, and as well as my other works, is to make these books as fun and relatable as possible. There's already so much stigma that exists with mental health, unfortunately. And my goal is to eliminate this stigma by making self-help books as enjoyable as a comic book or a fiction book. So in one of my upcoming books that are going to be released next year, Therapy Quest, it's actually a fantasy novel that is also kind of a choose-your-own-adventure kind of book, because I want the readers to enjoy their quest to learning self-help skills rather than it feeling tedious or difficult. I want to take away that stigma and make it fun and interesting, almost like a video game.
Yeah, that is very, very cool. I had seen on Twitter a little bit about Therapy Quest, so thank you for touching on that some as well. And you said next year it'll be released?
Yes, it comes out in the United States on May 7th, and it's out in the UK already.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Very cool. So UK listeners, you can go ahead and check that out. Yeah, I think this is just such a cool concept in the way you're doing it, because you can get a lot of young people involved as well with something like this. But also, again, from what I've seen and heard about it and read myself, is this is good for all ages and it really works. It helps. How I had come to find you was a clinician that we know put us in contact with you. She had said, she's like, do you know the superhero therapist? I was like, I don't know. That sounds interesting though.
That's awesome. Thank you so much. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I was like, that's pretty cool. And then I started reading more about you and I was like, oh, we gotta figure out a time to talk to her.
Oh, that's great. Fantastic. And which of the Marvel characters do you most connect to, if you don't mind me asking, or find really enjoyable?
I myself don't know that there's one that I specifically connect to, but I know that I've discussed it with some of my parts, and in therapy, we've discussed it with our own psychologist, and two of my parts, for those who are curious, you can go to the weandme.com, our blog, and there's a parts section there, so you know who I'm talking about. But Stevie, she relates mostly to the Incredible Hulk.
Uh-huh.
And then Jinx relates mostly to Mystique.
Got it.
Because she's very socially adaptive and she will become whatever we need in any given social situation, whether that be connecting with someone through laughter, joy, anger, whatever, pain, whatever the case may be. She makes me socially normal in a sense, quote unquote normal, but...
That's fantastic. Very cool. Thank you for sharing that with me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's interesting too. You know what's funny is that was actually the next question that I had here that I was going to ask you.
For my favorite characters?
Yeah.
Yeah. So of traditional superheroes, my favorite character of all time is Storm from the X-Men.
Yeah.
Storm is kind of the reason for my, you know, for my love of superheroes. She is someone that can control the weather. And in real life, in my life, the weather controls me. So I think a part of me kind of always wanted to be able to control the weather.
Sure.
But what I love about Storm more than anything is her origin story and her sense of compassion, very similar to Wonder Woman in that way.
Yeah.
Her origin story is really interesting. Like most superheroes, she experienced something traumatic at a young age, right? So Storm's real name is Aurora Monroe. And when she was a little child, there was an airplane that crashed into their house, killing her parents. And Aurora barely got out of that rubble. It took her, I think, several days to crawl out of there. And as a result, when she grew up, she developed severe claustrophobia, which means fear of tight spaces. So when she joins the X-Men, if she's on the train, for example, or if she's stuck in a dungeon or a closet or something like that, she experiences massive panic attacks. But if her fellow X-Men are in trouble, then she will learn to soothe her panic attack over time to be able to rescue them. It's really interesting to me to see her be able to manage her own traumatic experience and her overwhelming anxiety and panic attacks when it meant that she would be able to help other people. So I have this really powerful connection with her in that I really admire her, and she's someone that I really look up to. And then my favorite fandom is Harry Potter. I just think it's absolutely incredible in every way, shape, and form. just everything, I think, in those stories does a really good job of depicting mental health and how people might experience traumatic losses and phobias and depression. I think J.K. Rowling did a wonderful job in the series.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I myself have not read the entire series. We have seen all of the movies, and I know that one of my parts has read most of them. But it is really interesting because when I think I was in like 7th grade, 8th grade when those came out, something like that. And I remember starting to read the first book and then, you know, DID, undiagnosed. I was a child. There were still things occurring, so I never got to finish the series. But as an adult, I have looked back at trying to read them again. Uh-huh. Because there are very interesting ways that she writes. She just writes. It's intriguing to me, the way she writes and builds her characters.
Wow. Yeah. I agree with that.
It's very interesting. And before I get lost in the interest of that, I'm going to stop my brain real quick. Can you share a little bit more about how you work in session using the superhero therapy? So how you apply that to CBT, for example, or the ACT, the acceptance and commitment therapy?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So during the very first session, I usually ask my clients if they have any kind of interests, if they like certain TV shows or movies or comic books or video games. And a lot of clients nowadays actually come in to see me specifically because of what I do.
Sure,
so
yeah.
they usually come in already telling me, hey, I wanted to come see you because you know a lot about Batman or, you know, or Wonder Woman, for example. So we'll spend the last few minutes of the first session just talking about their interests. So by doing so, we don't only focus on the issues that the client is coming in with, but also on their strength and their culture. Because I believe that pop culture is a part of our culture.
Yeah.
For many people, the identification that we have with our fandom is a part of us. It's a part of our identity. And I think it's an important part to assess in an intake assessment. And then throughout the sessions, we will use certain characters as a symbol of strength. For example, I'll have my clients do what's called an origin story exercise. It is where they'll initially write out their origin story, for example, their traumatic origin, their history of maybe child abuse, for example, or a painful loss. And then they'll be encouraged to think of some kind of a role model hero. This could be a fictional superhero or even a real life superhero, or a real life hero, like a grandparent, a mentor, a historical figure like Rosa Parks, for example, and write a letter to themselves from the point of view of this hero. So, for example, a person who might have picked Batman might write a letter to themselves from the point of view of Batman, some kind of an encouraging, inspirational letter, allowing them to rethink their origin story from the point of view of a survivor, allowing them to see that although something awful might have happened to them, it now has allowed them to better understand other individuals, for example, or it's allowed them to find a new sense of meaning or growth that they might not have previously had. So we look for strengths in this way, and then we look for ways to develop certain superhero steps. For example, ways of facing our fears by identifying with Batman or Spider-Man, for instance, where we might do what's called an exposure, which means facing someone's fear. And it's something that the client and I will do together. For example, my clients who are afraid of flying will actually work up toward being able to fly together, and then we'll take a flight. Clients who are afraid of driving will do exposure to driving together while, for example, wearing their Gryffindor scarf, you know, or
cool.
Yeah, or wearing some kind of a bracelet or connecting with their favorite superhero in some kind of way.
It's almost like with that connection that your client already feels working through that, they almost have in their mind, I guess it's almost the strengths of that hero kind of become their backup and encouragement in a way to push them to some of these, like a better functionality. So some of the exposure therapies and building up to that point and then going back and forth between their goals and then the connection that they have with their own individual heroes, whether it be fictional or
exactly.
Batman, Superman.
Exactly. So initially the superhero or another heroic individual might function as a role model, as a mentor.
Right.
And then the goal is for the client to become their own version of a hero.
Yeah, that is very cool. One of my parts is geeking out right now. She wanted to say, that's wicked awesome.
Thank you. And I think it's very much what, you know, what you are all doing for your listeners. You know, all of you are allowing for this open dialogue about this really rare kind of a mental health representation that not a lot of people talk about. And by talking about and discussing it in this open format, you are serving as this kind of role model and a mentor to other people who might not have a voice. And it's really inspirational to see all of you doing that.
Oh, well, thank you very much. We've seen some of the damage that happens when people don't find help or aren't able to because of the lack of understanding, because of a lack of people living with DID who talk about it, because of the fear of the stigma or the damage that can be done to them. And then, of course, with clinicians not being very well versed or trained in it because they either think they don't see it or they won't encounter it, and they're being failed at an academic level. A lot of what we do is the Living with DID talks, where we go and speak to clinicians or community leaders, etc. So we saw a void and we decided, well, I don't have a problem with speaking to people in public or otherwise, so let's give this a try. And so far it's been going good for about 3 years now.
That's fantastic. I'm really, really inspired to see, you know, you taking this role in educating the community. And as you mentioned, even mental health professionals, because unfortunately, even within the mental health field, I think not everyone is well versed, certainly not enough to understand that this is something that does exist. And unfortunately, not enough is known about this. So I'm really glad that you have taken this active role in speaking out for your community and for this population.
Oh, thank you very much. We do appreciate that. Yeah, I think it's cool in how we're fanning, like fangirling out right now, because it's just, first of all, my parts love comic books and graphic novels and that sort of thing. So we are really looking forward to picking up a copy of your superhero therapy book.
Thank you.
But beyond that, we've always kind of found comfort in them.
Yeah.
In the idea that these heroes have come from trauma, because like you said, they all do, really. Like, mm-hmm. Every single one of them has some form of a traumatic origin story. And I really think, going back to the way you explain Storm and why you relate so closely to her, because she's actually one that I did know and did remember reading about before when I was a kid years ago, you know, but her origin story, I did remember that, and I think it is really cool that through you have that connection with her and the reasons why. No, of course, not the trauma pieces of that, but that there was a hero, a superhero already written that you shared such a similar connection with. I think that is just really astounding and kind of cool.
Thank you.
And I don't mean it in a morbid way. But
no, not at all.
I think it's cool that she was available for you is what I mean.
Yes, absolutely. And I think Lin Wein did such a wonderful job in creating her and creating Wolverine. And, you know, both of these characters, between Wolverine having been exposed to radiation and Storm having been someone who had experienced this traumatic incident and also is someone that controls the weather, both of these characters speak so much to me. And I think I wish Lin Wein was still alive so I could thank him for creating these.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. That, I think, is one reason why some of my parts are struggling a little bit right now. One in particular, Stevie, is because I'm 31, but we never had the opportunity to go to a Comic-Con to meet Stan Lee. And he was her hero. But I think it's just such a neat concept in how you're working with your patients. And I think that kind of working on the connections between something tangible for them that they can read about, someone that they can look up to, and then those goals that they can hit then in therapy, instead of the more traditional route where it's, you know, week to week and you're talking, and then sometimes that can become overwhelming for people with PTSD who have a trauma history and that sort of thing, because you're talking about all these horrible things week after week after week. So I think having the superhero aspect of it, and then of course working through their traumas and that, but those, I'm a huge supporter of therapy, and I think that the goals are what really help people, and having a pop culture reference that they can relate to and then expand upon in their own lives is really a very cool way of working.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. And I find that most trauma survivors already experience so much shame or difficulty in right. expressing or understanding what they're going through, that I think identifying with a fictional character allows them to feel that they're not alone, and allows them to understand that what they're going through is acceptable, that other people have gone through it too, and that there's nothing wrong with feeling overwhelmed by their traumatic experience.
Yeah, I agree. That is a big thing, and I get messages about that weekly, because people are like, well, what about, you know, the, I'm not going to go into specifics on trauma, so no trigger warning needed, guys. But it's just, what about this, this, and that? Okay, but you, there's no, you couldn't protect yourself. You were a child. You didn't, because a lot of the people who reach out to me have PTSD, but they have specifically diagnosed with DID, or they're not diagnosed yet and still on the journey of trying to find someone who can help them, which is often a big problem.
Yeah, but I agree.
Yeah, I think it's just a unique way of working with trauma, and I think you kind of I think you need to have that a little bit as far as the other side of that goes. If you're working, if you're a psychologist, doctor, therapist, however, counselor, whatever it is, and you're working with people who have trauma, I think catering it to them and not trying to do like the cookie cutter thing, like, okay, well, this is how I was taught to do it, so this is how we're going to do it. I think you need to try and find a way to connect to the individual person.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think it's really cool that you're using these amazing characters to do that.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate that.
So, of course, I'm going to ask a little bit more of a personal question. If you don't want to answer it, please feel free not to.
Okay.
So working with, because I've read too that you work with veterans and civilians. So working with trauma, have you been able to find a balance for your own life so you don't begin to experience some of the vicarious trauma that can cause problems for psychologists?
You know, for me specifically, I find that when I'm working with my clients, I feel connected to them and to my own sense of purpose. So in my work, at the very least for me, I find that I experience post-traumatic growth when I'm working with my clients. That is my sense of purpose, okay. Helping other people to manage their own trauma symptoms, because I know what it's like to have PTSD. There are times that I still get triggered outside of the clinical setting, you know, in other environments, for example. And doing the work that I do allows me to stay grounded and allows me to remember what all of it is for. And then balancing it out with doing podcasts like these and trainings for mental health providers and how to utilize this method and writing books, that allows me to have that balance, because I'm able to utilize my skills in a number of different ways. So for me, I actually find that it's helpful. But I do think that for some individuals, it might be overwhelming or it might be extreme. So I think maybe I'm fortunate in my setting or in the clients that I'm working with, but I actually find it as something that builds resilience for me to be able to do the kind of work that I do. And I feel incredibly privileged to be doing what I'm doing with my clients, and as well as with these kinds of interviews and trainings.
That's great then. Yeah. And I definitely understand where you're coming from there and what you're saying, because we do have, it gets overwhelming occasionally, but then, like you said, we do other things in our day-to-day life that we use to push forward, and then work with our own doctor, of course. And it's really beneficial, because a lot of people do, when they message us or email, or doctors who connect looking for consultation, which we do in that's just something else that we do, consultations with doctors and that. It's people always ask, well, are you sure this is okay? Like, is it going to trigger you? It's up to me to take care of my own triggers and take care of myself. Additionally, you're not my doctor. I have one, and we will work with her if there is a problem. However, this actually does help us in a lot of ways, because the more that we talk about these types of things, the more we realize, okay, so this is going to be, this could potentially help somebody else. This could help another group of people, you know, that type of thing. So I get what you're saying. I think I understand what you're saying in that, how some of the thing, like the writing, the interviews and that type of thing,
right,
give you purpose and they propel you forward in the work that you're doing.
Right. Right. And it seems like all of you are doing the exact same thing. And it's really, really encouraging and inspiring to see the differences that you are making in the lives of other people by providing that voice and advocacy for the DID community.
Oh, well, thank you. We try. We're coming to the end here. We're a little bit over a half hour, and we like to keep them around 30 minutes for people when we do interviews with psychologists. But you had mentioned future projects and some of the things that are going on, and I read about a course for psychologists in next year. Is that correct? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Sure. In March, there will be a 2-month online course. So psychologists from anywhere in the world can participate in this course. It will be a certification course. And for psychologists in the United States, they will also receive CEs in learning how to implement pop culture into therapy. So it will be a superhero therapy course online.
It just sounds cool.
Thank you.
A superhero
Thank
course.
Thank you so much. Thank you. And then there will be a few other live courses where people can attend live courses in San Diego over the next year. There'll be one in May and one in September if people would are interested in that. And all of that information is on my website, which is superhero-therapy.com.
Everybody, superhero-therapy.com. And then all of the links for Dr. Janina Scarlett will be in the description below in the podcast. Can you share just a few other places that everybody can reach you at? If psychologists wanted to sign up for that course you were just discussing, where can they do that at?
The best way to do that is through the link through my website.
Okay.
So on my website, there is a page called Trainings. So if you click on that page, you'll see the different courses that are being offered, and it will take you directly to the registration page. I'm also easily accessible through Twitter, at Shadow Quill. I answer all tweets. And I'm on pretty much all social media, Facebook and Instagram, under Superhero Therapy. So I'm always happy to consult or answer questions.
Fantastic. Thank you again for being on with us.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm definitely going to be in contact with you again in the future, because this is a really cool thing. And I think more psychologists need to be aware of it, because I've heard from several people now, when a few people that we know in the survivor culture community, they're like, what do you mean she works using superheroes? it's just something different, and it's intriguing for a lot of people. So I really look forward to reading your books and then looking more into the future at what it is that you continue to do. So thank you again for being on with us today.
Thank you. It's been wonderful to be on the show. Thank you.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to another episode of the We and Me podcast. Today you got to hear from the superhero therapist, Dr. Janina Scarlett. Like we said, we're going to put all of her information in the description box below. We hope that some of you psychologists out there that are listening take heed and check out her course, her website, and find out more information about how you can begin doing superhero therapy with your own clients. Thanks, everyone, for listening to the We and Me podcast. We hope to see you next week. Don't forget to like and subscribe and leave us a review and rating if you're enjoying the show on Apple Podcasts. Bye, everybody. We'll see you next time. It's repetitive.